47. So much is lost. Indeed, we admire his initiative. Perhaps if you had approached the correct one of us with your plea, it would have found favorable audience. I am Talanel Elin, herald of war. The time of the return, the desolation is near at hand. We must prepare. You will have forgotten much following the destruction of the times past. Kalak will teach you to cast bronze, if you have forgotten this. We will soul-cast blocks of metal directly for you. I wish we could teach you steel, but casting is so much easier than forging, and you must have something we can produce quickly. Your stone tools will not serve against what is to come. Videl can train your surgeons, and Jezrian will teach you leadership. So much is lost between returns. I will train your soldiers. We should have time. Ishar keeps talking about a way to keep information from being lost following desolations. And you have discovered something unexpected. We will use that. Surge binders to act as guardians. Knights. The coming days will be difficult, but with training, humanity will survive. You must bring me to your leaders. The other heralds should join us soon. I think I am late, this time. I fear, oh God, that I have failed. No, this is not right, is it? How long has it been? Where am I? I am Talanel Elin, herald of war. The time of the return, the desolation, is near at hand. Yasna trembled as she read the madman's words. She turned over the sheet and found the next one covered in similar ideas, repeated over and over. This couldn't be a coincidence, and the words were too specific. The abandoned herald had come to Kolinar and had been dismissed as a madman. She leaned back in her seat, and Ivory, full-sized, like a human, stepped over to the table. Hands clasped behind his back, he wore his usual stiff, formal suit. The Spren's coloring was jet black, both clothing and features, though something prismatic swirled on his skin. It was as if pure black marble had been coated in oil that glistened with hidden color. He rubbed his chin, reading the words. Yasna had rejected the nice rooms with balconies on the rim of Urethiru. Those had such an obvious entrance for assassins or spies. Her small room at the center of Dalinar's section was far more secure. She had stuffed the ventilation openings with cloth. The airflow from the hallway outside was adequate for this room, and she wanted to make sure nobody could overhear her by listening through the shafts. In the corner of her room, three span reeds worked tirelessly. She had rented them at great expense until she could acquire new ones of her own. They were paired with reeds in Tushik that had been delivered to one of the finest and most trustworthy information centers in the princedom. There, miles and miles away, a scribe was carefully rewriting each page of her notes, which she had originally sent to them to keep safe. "This speaker, Yasna," Ivory said, tapping the sheet she'd just read. Ivory had a clipped, no-nonsense voice. "This one who said these words. This person is a herald. Our suspicions are true. The heralds are, and the fallen one still is."
"We need to find him," Yasna said.
"We must search Shadesmar," Ivory said. "In this world, men can hide easily. But their souls shine out to us on the other side,
unless someone knows how to hide them."
Ivory looked toward the growing stack of notes in the corner. One of the pens had finished writing. Yasna rose to change the paper. Shallan had rescued one of her trunks of notes, but two others had gone down with the sinking ship. Fortunately, Yasna had sent off these backup copies. Or did it matter? This sheet, encrypted by her cipher, contained lines and lines of information connecting the parchment to the Voidbringers. Once, she'd slaved over each of these passages, teasing them from history. Now their contents were common knowledge. In one moment, all of her expertise had been wiped away.
We've lost so much time, she said.
Yes. We must catch what we have lost, Jasnah.
We must.
The enemy? Jasnah asked. He stirs. He angers.
Ivory shook his head, kneeling beside her as he changed the sheets of paper.
We are not before him, Jasnah. He would destroy my kind and yours.
The span read finished, and another started writing out the first lines of her memoirs, which she'd worked on intermittently throughout her life. She'd thrown aside a dozen different attempts, and as she read this latest one, she found herself disliking it as well.
What do you think of Shallan? She asked Ivory, shaking her head.
The person she's become.
Ivory frowned, lips drawing tight. His sharply chiseled features, too angular to be human, were like those of a roughed-out statue the sculptor had neglected to finish.
She is troubling, he said.
That much hasn't changed.
She is not stable.
Ivory, you think all humans are unstable.
Not you, he said, lifting his chin.
You are like a spren. You think by facts. You change not on simple whims. You are as you are.
She gave him a flat stare.
Mostly, he added. Mostly.
But it is, Jasnah. Compared to other humans, you are practically a stone.
She sighed, standing up and brushing past him, returning to her writing desk. The herald's ravings glared at her. She settled down, feeling tired.
Jasnah, Ivory asked, am I in error?
I am not so much a stone as you think, Ivory.
Sometimes I wish I were.
These words trouble you, he said, stepping up to her again and resting his jet-black fingers on the paper.
Why? You have read many troubling things.
Jasnah settled back, listening to the three span reeds scratching paper, writing out notes that, she feared, would mostly be irrelevant.
Something stirred deep within her. Glimmers of memory from a dark room, screaming her voice ragged. A childhood illness nobody else seemed to remember for all it had done to her. It had taught her that people she loved could still hurt her.
Have you ever wondered how it would feel to lose your sanity, Ivory?
Ivory nodded. I have wondered at this. How could I not? Considering what the ancient fathers are.
You call me logical, whispered Jasnah. It's untrue, as I let my passions rule me as much as many. In my times of peace, however, my mind has always been the one thing I could rely upon. Except once.
She shook her head, picking up the paper again.
I fear losing that, Ivory. It terrifies me.
How would it have felt to be these heralds? To suffer your mind slowly becoming untrustworthy? Are they too far gone to know? Or are there lucid moments where they strain and sort through memories, trying frantically to decide which are reliable and which are fabrications? She shivered.
The ancient ones, Ivory said again, nodding.
He didn't often speak of the Spren who had been lost during the recreants. Ivory and his fellows had been mere children, well, the Spren equivalent, at the time. They spent years, centuries, with no older Spren to nurture and guide them. The Ink Spren were only now beginning to recover the culture and society they had lost when men abandoned their vows.
Your ward, Ivory said. Her Spren. A cryptic.
Which is bad?
Ivory nodded. He preferred simple, straightforward gestures. You never saw Ivory shrug.
Cryptics are trouble. They enjoy lies, Jasnah. Feast upon them. Speak one word untrue at a gathering and seven cluster around you. Their humming fills your ears.
Have you warred with them?
One does not war with cryptics. as one does honor spren. Cryptics have but one city, and do not wish to rule more, only to listen. He tapped the table. Perhaps this one is better with the bond. Ivory was the only new generation Inkspren to form a radiant bond. Some of his fellows would rather have killed Jasnah instead of letting him risk what he had done. The Spren had a noble air about him, stiff-backed and commanding. He could change his size at will, but not his shape, except when fully in this realm, manifesting as a shardblade. He had taken the name Ivory as a symbol of defiance. He was not what his kin said he was, and would not suffer what fate proclaimed. The difference between a higher Spren like him and a common emotion Spren was in their ability to decide how to act, a living contradiction, like human beings. "Shallan won't listen to me any longer," Jasnah said. "She rebels against every little thing I tell her. These last few months on her own have changed the child." "She never obeyed well, Jasnah. That is who she is. In the past, at least, she pretended to care about my teaching. But you have said more humans should question their places in life. Did you not say that they too often accept presumed truth as fact?" She tapped the table. "You're right, of course. Wouldn't I rather have her straining against her boundaries as opposed to happily living within them? Whether she obeys me or not is of little import. But I do worry about her ability to command her situation, rather than letting her impulses command her. How do you change this, if it is?" "An excellent question." Jasnah searched through the papers on her small table. She'd been collecting reports from her informants in the war camps, the ones who had survived, about Shallan. She'd truly done well in Jasnah's absence. Perhaps what the child needed was not more structure, but more challenges. "All 10 orders are again," Ivory said from behind her. For years it had been only the two of them, Jasnah and Ivory. Ivory had been dodgy about giving odds on whether the other sapient Spren would refound their orders or not. However, he'd always said that he was certain that the Honor Spren, and therefore the Windrunners, would never return. Their attempts to rule Shadesmar had apparently not endeared them to the other races. 10 orders, Jasnah said. All ended in death.
All but one, Ivory agreed. They lived in death instead.
She turned around, and he met her eyes with his own. No pupils, just oil shimmering above something deeply black. "We must tell the others what we learned from Wit, Ivory. Eventually this secret must be known."
"Jasnah, no! It would be the end. Another recreance.
The truth has not destroyed me.
You are special. No knowledge is that can destroy you, but the others."
She held his eyes, then gathered the sheets stacked beside her. "We shall see," she said, then carried them to the table to bind them into a book.